While the Democratic Alliance managed to secure a win in the Western Cape in the latest elections, a Bishop Labour's community activist has attributed the DA's successes in the province to the support of liberal whites in traditional southern suburbs, and of course to disgruntled and disempowered people whom we call coloureds. Online is Abdul Karim Matthews, a member of the Bishop Labour's Action Community. Abdul Karim, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
The post you put up under the name of AK Matthews certainly has done the rounds in social media, hasn't it? You've managed to touch a number of nerves.
A number of raw nerves to the point where I'm currently now in Facebook prison for the post.
Okay. But somebody had to do it. I'm sure you'll agree. And I made a point just before we actually started the show, is that there is a group in the Western Cape, and we have to be brutal about the terminology, unfortunately, so-called coloured people, the poorest of the poor, who've always been the poorest of the poor. They were the group, as you've said, that voted the new National Party, the old National Party in 1994, and still vote DA. Would you agree that maybe they're doing this because they have been neglected? They don't benefit from a black from BEE. They haven't benefited from anything.
My brother, that is the narrative that is going around. When you speak to so-called colored people in the Cape Flats, they will tell you, look, our problem is not necessarily to have an issue with black people, but they're getting all the jobs. And our issue is not necessarily that some people are getting rich, but it only appears as if black people are getting rich. But that denies the reality of our actual living material condition.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out to the listeners the current statistics for unemployment in this country. It's now standing at 27%. Now, if the black people are in the majority in this country, then it stands to reason that the vast majority of the unemployed people in this country are in fact black,
mm-hmm.
and not so-called colored. The marginalization that people are feeling is simply because colored people make up a section of the black population, and the unemployment statistics is so huge. But the actual kernel of what I'm getting at is related to our condition pre-1994.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at how the apartheid government ruled, the only reason why the apartheid government could rule was through the tactic of divide and rule. And the way they could do that was to, I'm not sure if people will remember this, but in the Western Cape, we had something that the apartheid government called the Colored Labor Preference Act. And that act allocated a certain amount of semi-skilled and skilled jobs for the so-called colored population. In other words, we had an economy that was skewed in favor of mostly white people,
mm-hmm.
and then there were certain people in other so-called racial categories that had access to jobs. In other words, our economy only worked for a minority of the population.
Right.
Post 94, we obviously now have a so-called open economy. The ANC government went in the direction of affirmative action in black economic empowerment. But the idea behind that plan was obviously to expand the numbers of the black middle class substantially. And so-called colored people, they feel as if they are marginalized. But let's take the community of, let's say, Bontebal and Langa. In Bontebal, we have a huge unemployment rate. Many working class people unemployed. That's a fact. But just opposite the road in Langa, the same conditions apply. People are mostly unemployed in those areas. Where they are employed, they earn very, very low wages. For example, security workers, maybe so-called colored or so-called black, they work for less than 4,000 rand a month for 12-hour shifts. This is a condition that affects the working class irrespective of color.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these are valid points you're making. How do you see the way forward? It's something that, as a journalist, that has worried me for decades, actually. How do we address the situation fairly in connection with the population of the Cape Flats? Because if one looks at things historically, and it does get complicated, members of our community have black blood in them. They were black, good enough to be black during the anti-apartheid struggle, not good enough to be black after the anti-apartheid struggle. How do we redress the inequalities? And we're talking about economic inequalities, historical inequalities. There's so many inequalities. How do we start to get positive about it?
Well, look, for the listeners, I would say the following. Simply put, the capitalist system cannot produce sufficient jobs for everyone. It's impossible. Unemployment is built into the capitalist system. And this is something that even the Muslim community needs to be aware of. Mm-hmm. There are people who punt business and profits above the actual needs that are supposed to produce within an economy, that people can satisfy their basic living conditions. Now, the way forward, as far as I'm concerned, is we need to re-examine our tactics that we had during the 80s when we fought the apartheid capitalist government. And the first thing that is quite obvious is that what the ANC did prior to coming into power in 1994 was to disband the United Democratic Front. It was done very, very deliberately. You would know that the United Democratic Front, it had a non-racial component.
Mm.
There was no such thing as a white comrade versus a black comrade versus an Indian comrade versus a colored comrade. We were all comrades in the struggle, right?
Absolutely.
Against the apartheid regime. So the first problem that we need to address is that the African National Congress government, although it identifies so-called kind of people as black people in law, what is actually happening in practice is that we have this discrimination taking place. And what is happening is that for the few jobs that are available, we now have competition between so-called colored people and so-called black people. So in as much, for example, as so-called colored people feel marginalized, black people also feel marginalized. They will tell you, look, if I'm a professional, I can't get a promotion in Western Cape. Let me rather try my luck somewhere else. But then go down to Joburg or Durban, that is where I will get a promotion. So that feeling of marginalization does not only exist within the so-called colored community, it also exists within the black community. But what is happening is that the oppressed and the exploited are fighting over the available jobs. The old question, though, is what is the solution? The solution for me, simply put, is that we need to accept that the capitalist system doesn't work for the working class. And that is the sad, sad reality, because if we believe that somehow reforms to the system will lead to an improvement in the employment statistics, it's simply not going to happen. We've got right now 6.2 million people unemployed. That does not even include the amount of people that have simply given up on finding a job at all. They are called the unemployable, right? They simply cannot get jobs at all. And so for me, what we need to do is to have a concerted campaign where we look at what is the economy all about, in whose interest does the economy work. And if people can claim that the interest of the economy works for everyone, then obviously you're living in denial. This economy works for the rich only. And that is what we're going to have to accept. So the answer for me is we need revolutionary leadership in all our progressive organizations, in our trade unions, in our NGOs, in our field of academia, all of these institutions. We need proper leadership, which we do not currently have at the moment. But just give you one example. If you take, for example, the VAT increase, 1% increase, who instituted the VAT increase? It was the African National Congress government. So a political party that says it has a bias for the working class introduces a 1% tax increase with regards to VAT. And who does that affect the most? When you buy electricity, you know, if you're lucky enough to have money in your pocket and you buy 100 electricity, 14% of that goes to the government. If you look at every single commodity that you purchase, from bread, etc., to milk, all of this you pay VAT. So that 1% increase negatively affects and impacts the working class, irrespective of your so-called racial categorization. And so, simply put, what we do not have at this moment is one premium federation that has consistently launched a battle against the 1% VAT increase. We can talk about economic theory as much as we want to, but basically what boils down to is the bread and butter issue. Who is resisting the VAT increase? Who is resisting the fuel price increases? It's supposed to be organized labor. But guess what? A big part of organized labor is in the pocket of the government through the tripartite alliance. COSATU is intrinsically linked to the ruling party.
Absolutely. Abdul Karim Matthews, thanks for chatting to us. It's a complex issue. I think after Ramadan, we need to really start talking about these things, because if we don't, then who knows what could happen. Abdul Karim Matthews, a member of the Bishop Labour's Action Community, and his post has certainly gone viral. As I say, he's on a sort of a Facebook divorce at the moment. But Abdul Karim, shukran, thanks a lot, and thanks for making everybody think.
Thank you so much.